This week's parasha is Parashas Vayera. And the pasuk says, when Avraham Avinu was negotiating, bargaining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save the people of Sadaim, so he says, what about if there were 50 tzaddikim in Sadaim? Would you destroy the city? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I wouldn't destroy it then. Im emtza b'stayim chamishim tzaddikim b'say chayir, if I could find 50 tzaddikim in the city, I would spare the entire Sadaim as a result of those 50 tzaddikim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzaditesim and Aleph, says that those people in life who say, Mayahanulan Rabbanon, what are those rabbis? What are those Kailal guys? What are those Avreichim? What are those Yeshiva Bachrim doing all day? What do they help? What are they accomplishing with their life? Lididhu karu, lididhu tanu. If they're learning, they're learning for themselves. If they're learning Gemara, they're learning it for themselves. They're just engaging in Talmudic gymnastics all day. And they're not accomplishing anything. Let them go get a job. Let them go to get a profession. What does it help me that I have Kailal guys learning all day and all night? What does that do for me? I think we've all maybe heard those types of comments either in passing or on a steady basis. So the Gemara says, those that say that, those that use such tainus against Talmidei Chachamim are called Megalim Panim Batayra. Rashi says they're kaifer b'mashik kasa b'tayra. They are people that are kaifer. They deny what it says in the Torah. They're not saying, they think that they're 100% fine. They're the ones that got it right. They're the ones that are really, you know, they put tefillin on, they put a talis on, and they do chesed and all that. They think that they have it right. But they're megala panim b'tayra, shalai kalacha. They're basically being kaifer in what the Torah itself says about Talmidei Chacham, about tzaddikim, about people that are great. Where is the kfira in something that it says in the Torah? What are they saying that's wrong? Is there anything technically that they're going against the Torah about? What are they saying that's wrong? Where is their mistake? The Gemara gives a few examples, but one such example is from this pasuk in our parasha. Because the pasuk says, "V'nasasi l'chal hamakayim ba'avuram," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I would find 50 tzaddikim scattered amongst Sadaim, Amira, the five cities of evil, if there are 50 tzaddikim in those cities, I would spare the entire city. I would spare everybody. All the Risham Gemurim that lived in Sadaim would get a free pass, all because of these tzaddikim. What do you see from this? So the Gemara says that you see from here that the kayach of a tzaddik is so great that it even has the ability to be megan on an entire city of Rishayim that already had a gezar din of kali on them. They were supposed to be destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said they must be destroyed. Oh, there's 50 tzaddikim in the city? Fine, I'm not going to destroy them. What do you see from here? The power of a tzaddik. A tzaddik is not just learning for himself. A tzaddik and somebody that sits and learns, somebody that davens, somebody that's from, somebody that is an Eved Hashem, he's not just doing it for himself. He's not a selfish endeavor that he's engaged in, that it's only for himself. It's just, he's trying to make himself holy. He's trying to make himself knowledgeable, scholarly. But he's sitting in an ivory castle and he's not really doing anything for society around him. That is the greatest misconception, says the Gemara, because you see from this pasuk that v'nasasi l'chal hamakom b'avuram, if there would only have been 50 tzaddikim in the city, and then Avraham Avinu bargained down even lower, but at least as a starting point, even 50 tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will spare the entire city. That shows us the power of a tzaddik, of a Talmud Chacham, of an Eved Hashem, that he's not just doing it for himself. The power of Torah, the power of Kedusha, is an iron dome that saves entire communities, it saves entire countries, it saves entire worlds. And if you don't believe it, and you think that's not true, you're a megala panim b'Torah. You are saying that the Torah is not true. So many times they say, this Kailo, this concept of Kailo is something new, it never happened, the Rav Aaron Kailo never intended this, he never intended. How many times have we heard these things? What do they do? Let them, you know, do this, and only a few people should stay in line. These are things that, I don't know if you heard when you were growing up, but I heard it all the time from many different sources all around. The arrows were always being shot at Torah, at Kailal, at Kedusha. And people think that they're right. You know, they have the Ashkafa. This is a Gemara. It's not something that's a modern type of Taina to deflect the criticism. This is a Gemara. It's a Gemara Mefuresh in Sanhedrin. And it's a pasuk in Chumash that a tzaddik is not just learning for himself. A tzaddik has the ability to protect. He could protect an entire city. And Rabbi Elia Lapian, well, unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to learn this week because of Sheva Brachas and my daughter, but on Tuesday night, we normally learn together a beautiful piece from Rabbi Elia Lapian. He says a remarkable vart on this Gemara, on this pasuk. He says that imagine if there would have been 50 tzaddikim in the city of Sadaim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have spared the whole city. And the life would go on as usual. Nobody would know. There would be no headlines, you know, in the newspapers that the tzaddik saved the city. Just life would go on as normal. And you'd all, and people would still criticize those tzaddikim. What are they doing? And how are, you know, and they should get a job and they should be, you know, be more productive members of society. And what do they do for us? And why do we have to support them? And they're just doing this and they're just lazy and they would never know. It happens to be that we know what the Torah says, and that unfortunately there weren't 50 tzaddikim, there weren't 45, there weren't 40. But let's say there had been 50. Let's say Avraham Avinu had one. Based on this Taina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have spared the city, then the people, life would have gone on. There would never be a neon light saying that tzaddikim saved the city. They would still think that it's them and it's their power and it's their might, it's their army, it's everything, all the natural forces that are protecting them, but they would never give credit to tzaddikim. They wouldn't know to give credit to tzaddikim. But we have this Gemara, we have this Pasuk, we know what's really going on behind the scenes. What's going on behind the scenes is that a tzaddik is what protects the city. A tzaddik is what gives us security and stability and serenity in our life. That's what is causing what we have when we have peace, when we have tranquility. And sometimes the irony is, the sad irony is that when things are relatively calm, that's when things are the worst for tzaddikim, when it's the worst for Talmid Chachamim. Because then everything is good, life is good, the stock market's doing well, and people are happy, and that's when, you know, Vayishman, Yishurin, Vayivat, things go, when you feel everything is in place, that's when you could start bashing Charedim, and Torah, and Kailal, and that's what happened pretty much in Eretz Yisrael. You know, before October 7th, there was so much discord in Eretz Yisrael between the right wing and the left wing, between the Charedim and the Chilonim, and the Eretz Yisrael had such a period, like a seismic, you know, line separating the two sides on every single front, and it was terrible. It was terrible what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden, when there's machlekes, when there's crisis, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael knows how to get together in times of crisis. Baruch Hashem, that's a good thing, but it would be much better if we would know how to get along when things are good also. Because if things would have been, if we would have gotten along when things were good, maybe we wouldn't need this wake-up call. I saw in a sefer that there was a little gathering of Yeshiva Bachim together with Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman. And there were a whole lot of people in the room. Meir Tzvi Bergman is the son-in-law of Rav Shach. And he's a Rosh Yeshiva. He's, you know, he came to America a couple of months ago. It was a big thing for the Adira Atera event in Lakewood, and he was supposed to speak. Unfortunately, he lost his son when he was in America. His son in Eretz Yisrael was Nifter. But he's a very big Talmud Chacham, a very major leader in Talmud Chacham, and a big tzaddik. He wrote wonderful Svarim, the Shari Aira, and others. And he was once telling a story that the city of Bialystok was a very big city in Europe. It was a tremendously large city. A lot of Jews came from the city, and they were looking for a rav. They were looking for a rabbi for the city. They needed a rabbi to replace the old rabbi. So they heard that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who was one of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's sons, was possibly a potential candidate for the position. And they traveled to Brisk, where he was learning with his father. And they spoke to Reb Chaim about appointing the son as this very prominent position as the Bialystok Rav. And even though it was Reb Moshe's father that they were asking about, but they knew Reb Chaim was not going to be swayed in any way. He was going to tell them the truth and, you know, give them a good eitz of whether or not he feels his son is appropriate for the Rabbanus in Bialystok. So Reb Chaim said to them, it's a great idea. He says, just this morning, we were talking over a Shver Rambam, we were talking about a difficult Rambam, and Reb Moshe said the most brilliant yeshuv of the Rambam. He said such a geshmaka way to explain the Rambam, the difficulty in the Rambam. I think he would make an excellent Rav in Bialystok. So the Balabatim, this group that came, this delegation that came from Bialystok, started laughing. And one of them said, there's two reasons why we don't understand what Reb Chaim is saying. He says, first of all, what do we need in Bialystok, somebody to be Miashiv Rambams? That's not what we need in Bialystok. We don't need somebody to sitting and learning and being Miashiv Rambams. That's not the type of rabbi we need. He says, and second of all, if he's good at being Miashiv Rambams, so that's great. Let him stay in Brisk. He doesn't have to come to Bialystok. He's not doing anything extra in Bialystok to Miashiv Rambam. Those are two tainus that the Balabatim of Bialystok had. And the people that were sitting around Meir Tzvi Bergman started laughing, they're right, good taina. And Meir Tzvi Bergman got very upset that they were laughing. And he got up and he made a macha, and he said that you are being nana, you are enjoying words of apikursis. He says, you think that Reb Chaim didn't know before he said that what the people of Bialystok were going to tie in back to him? Think Reb Chaim didn't know that you don't have to be Miyashiv Shver Rambam to be the Rav of Bialystok? Think he didn't know that he could stay in Bialystok? He knew that. Elamai, he still said what he said. Reb Chaim wasn't naive. Reb Chaim wasn't telling him he should be the Rav of Bialystok because he's great at being Miyashiv Rambams. He knew that. And he still said it. You know why? Because one of the major, if not the major, milas of having a Talmud Chacham, the stature of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik, to be the Rav of Bialystok, is not to give brilliant drushes, and it's not to give to visit Chaylim in the hospital, and it's not to... Those are other things that Rabbanim do that are very important. But the main reason to have a tzaddik in your city is because v'nasasil chalamakam bavuram. Through his learning of Rambam, that will give a shmira, that will protect, that will bring bracha to the whole city. Everybody's parnasa level, a rising tide lifts all ships. If you have a Talmud Chacham, the stature of Moshe Soloveitchik in your city, there is protection. You're not going to get harmed by terrible things happening in your city, and you're not going to be able, and you'll be able to have more Yerushalayim because he's there, and you're going to have more nachas from your kinderlach because he's there, and the parnasa is going to be better, and the tzedakas are going to be better, the yeshivas are going to be better, everything is going to rise because he's there. Merely because he's learning. The maila of having a Talmud Chacham that's sitting and learning in your city is not shayach to understand or to explain to anybody, even to ourselves. We don't understand it. But to explain it to somebody that has no shaykhas, to explain it to somebody that doesn't understand these hashkafas, it's like telling them the most ridiculous thing in the world. That's what Apikorsa is about. Apikorsa is somebody that refuses to understand the true reality of the world, and that is the importance of Torah, the shmira that Torah provides, the tzidkus that a tzaddik gives to a city, and that the lucky people that are able to be zeicha to sit in the svivas of such a tzaddik. I remember during the Persian Gulf War, and you could still look up articles and kolkaires. During the Persian Gulf War, that was like the last time I think that there was such a grave existential threat to Eretz Yisrael. Instead of it being from, you know, from Hezbollah in the north and Gaza and the Hamas Yimach Shemam, it was from Iraq. There was a Russian Marusha by the name of Saddam Hussein. He was like the worst Tsar Yehudim of his time. And he basically threatened that he was going to, if America attacks Israel, America attacks Iraq, which they were about to because he took over Kuwait and whatever, and President Bush Sr. was lining up forces and he was going to invade Iraq. So if you invade Iraq, which is his country, I am going to lob Scud missiles against Israel. Now, these Scud missiles were the size of school buses. They weren't like little missiles. They were huge missiles. And there was a very big fear that he had put chemical weapons in the tips of these missiles. And chemical weapons, if they smash into any place in Eretz Yisrael, would cause tremendous, tremendous, you know, damage to the nerves of thousands, millions of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. And it was a pachad pochadim. And everyone needed sealed rooms in their houses. They had to tape them up with tape plastic on the doors to stop any of this chemical from coming in. Every Israeli was given a government-issued gas mask. And you can see pictures of how people were wearing these gas masks. It's very frightening. And there were sirens going off during the war. The war broke out. 39 missiles were lobbed into Eretz Yisrael. And it was Pachad Pachadim. I remember in America, 1010 Winds, which was the big news station in New York, every time a missile came, there was, you know, like a siren that was played on the radio station because there's so many Jews there, and we were all worried about what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't know what to do, and if you're learning in Eretz Yisrael, if you're an American learning in Eretz Yisrael, so your parents wanted you to come home. And many parents, many boys and girls that were learning Eretz Yisrael did come home. But they asked Reb Chaim, a group of Americans went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and said, you know, do we have to, I think it was Bochum actually, we're learning in Bnei Brak. Do we have to worry about Scud missiles? Our parents want us to come home or whatever. Do we have to worry? Because Tel Aviv was right next to Bnei Brak, and there was a fear that they were going to shoot it primarily at Tel Aviv. So Reb Chaim says, no. You don't have to worry about anything happening bad, at least in Bnei Brak. Why? Because Rav Shach is here. Rav Shach was still alive. Rav Shach is a Gadol Hadar. Rav Shach is a Tzadik Hadar. Rav Shach is a Manig Hadar. If he's here, you're protected. Nothing bad is going to happen in Bnei Brak. And they said, that's good to hear. There's only one problem. Before we came to Rav Chaim, we went to Rav Shach. And Rav Shach said that we should get out. Shach said, yeah, if you have a chance to get out, maybe it's better to go home or whatever, not to be here. So I heard that Reb Chaim said, the reason why Reb Shach said that is because even Reb Shach doesn't know who Reb Shach is. If Reb Shach would know who he really is, he would have more confidence to know that it's safe. It's just interesting, you know, that Reb Chaim himself, obviously, after Reb Shach was nifter, then the Bnei Brak continued to be a very safe place because he had Reb Chaim Kanievsky there, and everybody knew that. And right after Reb Chaim was nifter, I don't know if anyone else was saying, I never saw it written anywhere, but I'm sure it's been noted, like literally like a few days after he was nifter, all of a sudden there was like a mechabel, like a terrorist that came into Bnei Brak. I think he killed a few people, Rahman al-Itzlan. I remember he shot a driver, but literally a few days later, and then now there's like a terrible rodent problem in Bnei Brak. Like there's terrible, terrible, on Sukkos there's all types of shilas, whether or not people on first floors in Bnei Brak should even sit in the Sukkah if they're mitzvah. Terrible, terrible issue with rodents. And these are things that never happened when Reb Chaim was alive. And this whole October 7th, I don't know this for a fact, but I don't think October 7th could have possibly happened if Reb Chaim Kanievsky was alive. I just don't believe it. Not to be mitzi laz on the G'day L'Yisrael that we have today, chas v'shalom, because we do have G'day L'Yisrael today, but Reb Chaim was on such a madriga that I don't think such things could happen. We didn't have such things happening on this level when Reb Chaim Kanievsky was around. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, what was he? He was a big Rosh Hashiva. He didn't have yeshiva. He was just a yid that sat and learned. He was a tzaddik that sat and learned by him. Obviously, he wrote svarim, and obviously, people were shayel eitz of him day and night. And he was, and his Torah and his svarim are misayfay lemat sayfay. But he himself was, when you boil it all down, he was a person that was sitting and the biggest masman adar. Him and his shverabel yashiv, they sat and they learned. They didn't. They gave psak. Piskei halachas, they weren't like these, you know, gong, you know, they were people that sat and learned. V'nasasi l'chalam makam b'avur, the whole Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Brak, beyond, was spared because we had Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And you have to appreciate that. That's what we're talking about today, to appreciate when you have a tzaddik in a city, how much bracha that brings to a city. You have G'day L'Yisrael, you have Rashi Yeshivas, you have Talmid Chacham, you have Chassidus Sherebis, you have Sfardus Chachamim, you have Paiskim, or Avreichim, just simple people that are learning there without any shtela, without any job, any position, any fancy title, just the fact that people are sitting in a city learning, that itself is the greatest weapon that we have. And I know that we hear this a lot lately, and you know we have to do our part in yeshiva, and we do all night mishmaras, and we do or all night, all 24/7 throughout weeks, and that's this, that's what we're saying right now. Torah is not just okay, fine. You know we feel guilty that we're not serving in the army, so let's try to do a little bit on our own for the war effort. No, our learning, our davening, all these things that we're doing or that tzaddikim are doing, tibachal asar v'asar in every city, is really equal, if not more powerful, than what we're watching on videos that the chayalim are doing. This is not in any way to take anything away from the chayalim. Chayalim are mamish tzaddiki yisraelim. Every chayal that's fighting is meiser nefesh, literally, to save Klal Yisrael, to save Eretz Yisrael. Everyone that's killed in battle are Kedoshei Elyon, and they're dying to protect the Torah, to protect Tzaddikim, and you see the religious, you know, upsurge amongst the Chayalim. They all want to wear tzitzis. They're saying Shema. They're putting on tefillin. There's a tremendous Osiris right now of Kedusha in the world, and so of course the Chayalim deserve the utmost credit. But that's not what we're talking about right now. That's for sure true. But we're talking about the tzaddikim. We're talking about the Talmidei Chachamim that are able to do their part, and that part is not an insignificant part. It's not like, okay, we can't fight in the battle, but we're going to try to. That's not the way it is. In Shamayim, the greatest Shmira, the reason why we're successful in battle, and these are Gemaras. The reason why we're successful in battle is because there are people that are learning. There is Shar Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, who is it that's causing that our feet should stand? That are in battle, Sharayach Yerushalayim, these Talmid Chacham that are learning by the gateways of Yerushalayim. I once was in Shir by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he said that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Chizkiyo HaMelech one time came to a Beis Medrash. And he was nuts, cherev, bedalse beis medrash. He stuck his sword into the door of the beis medrash, and he says, "Kol mi shalai oisek b'tayra zu, whoever is not learning Torah, yidaker b'cherev zu, should be stabbed with this sword. They deserve to die." So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "Really, I know that bittul Torah is a big avera. I never knew that it was chayev misa. I didn't see any chazalin ever that says that, or any Rambams, any Shulchan Aruch that say that." What does Chizkiyahu mean? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said that this was during an ace milchama, just like we're going through now. Sancheriv was attacking. There were people, there was armies that were going to do battle against Sancheriv. And then there were people in the Beis Medrash that were learning against Sancheriv. And he says that just like in a battle, let's say a chayal would run away, he gets scared, and he's on the front lines, and he sees some terrorist or whatever coming out of a tunnel, and he runs away. What happens to that chayal? He's chayav misa, it's AWOL. If you go AWOL, if you go absent, you can't run away from that. If you're on battle, you got to be in the battle. And if you run away from a battle, then you will be court-martialed, and in certain armies, they will kill you. If you're not learning Torah during this time, says Chizkiyahu, Yidaker b'cherev zeh, you are AWOL. Because it's so important what we're doing, when we're learning, when we're davening, we're saying Tehillim, it's so important, and we have to understand ourselves. The world might not appreciate what we're doing, but we have to appreciate what we're doing. We have to appreciate what Talmidei Chacham are doing, what Tzaddikim are doing, because they are providing the Shmira, and we don't want to wait till we lose more Talmidei Chacham to appreciate the greatness that they're providing for us. The power of a Tzaddik is so intense that this is the main thing that we have to do b'shas molchama. Not because we're not chayalim. Even the chayalim themselves are learning. I saw pictures of chayalim learning daf yomi together. They shipped out, you know, thousands of daf yomi gemaras. The soft arts girl, I think, shipped Hebrew gemaras, the soft cover ones, you know, the pamphlets. By the thousands, pallets of gemaras were sent to the army, and they're learning. The soldiers themselves are learning, like Yeshua. You know, the Gemara says that Yeshua, when he was doing battle at night, a malach came to him as a taina, why aren't you learning? You should be learning. I was doing battle the whole day. I'm a little tired. I have to rest up for tomorrow's battle. No, you have to learn. Even the soldiers themselves are learning. Alchas kama v'kama, if you're not doing battle, you have to learn. I'm talking to myself, we have to learn. So this is the greatness of a tzaddik. And when we're talking about tzaddikim, we often think of people like Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and of people like Reb Eliashiv, and people like Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. But there's a fascinating Meshech Chachma on this pasuk, these psukim, about if you find chamishim tzaddikim b'seichir, the Meshech Chachma points out something that I don't think anyone else ever thought of. What type of tzaddikim are we talking about over here? Are we talking about big, big tzaddikim? Are tzaddikim living in Sadaim? Well, think about it. These are residents of Sadaim. Why would they choose to live in Sadaim? And what could they possibly be surrounded by every day in Sadaim? Can you imagine? We know a little bit of what went on in Sadaim, and the decadence, and the immorality, and the pritzos, and the rishos. If you look through the Chazalin about how topsy-turvy Sadaim was, and how everything was flipped over on its head, and all morality was out the window, and these tzaddikim are sitting in the city, tzaddikim, chamishim tzaddikim b'sei chayir, what type of tzaddik is this? Which would Reb Chaim Kanievsky sit in the heart of, I don't know, of wherever, you know, move to Las Vegas? Is that what we picture a tzaddik being? Elamite, says the Meshech Chachma, you're right. It's not talking about a tzaddik necessarily like what we've been speaking about up until this point, the big tzaddikim gemurim. This is a tzaddik who lives in amongst Rishon, and he sees things, or he might be tempted to look at things, but he doesn't. He's able to maintain himself even with all of the taiva surrounding him. He's able to somehow, you know, win more battles than he loses. Not that he's perfect. He's not perfect. You can't be perfect sometimes if you're living in Sadaim. You can't be perfect if you have internet access and you have a smartphone. You have a job in Manhattan. You have to walk the streets in the summer, in the winter, and you can't. It's not shayach. You're going to be looking at things. You're going to be thinking about things. You're going to be experiencing things, talking to people. The Gemara today, the last Gemara in the last daf in Kiddushin, fascinating daf, speaks about, you know, certain umnas that a person should not engage in because it's too tempting. Person, you know, it says a single guy should not be a rebbe to young children. Why not? What's so bad? Sounds nice. It's a nice job for Bachir Rebbe to be a Rebbe in Yeshiva. No. He says, because by PTA, the mothers are going to come and the father's going to shmooze the Rebbe. The Rebbe is going to have to shmooze with the mothers, and then something could happen and they could be Iver certain Averas. And other types of umnesin that the Gemara speaks about. Many umnesin that you have to interact with women on a daily basis, and store owners, and people that are engaged in selling perfumes and selling jewelry, and you're speaking to women all day. It's better not to engage in those umnes, says the Gemara. You're forced to engage to a certain degree with the world. Not everybody is zeicha to be sitting in a base medrash all day, and it's very, very problematic. It's a very big problem for many people to have Shmira Seinayim and to have Shmira Samachshava and to not speak in a certain way, in a casual way with women, and to not think about these types of things and to be honest in business and all these things. That's what the tzaddikim of Sadaim were all about, says the Meshech Chachma. It wasn't a classic tzaddik. No, Reb Chaim Kanievsky would probably not choose to live in Sadaim. But the tzaddikim that we're talking about in this pasuk are people like you and I. People that have to go into the city once in a while, have to go on buses and on airplanes and on trains and see things and expose ourselves to things, and to be able to be miskaber to the ability that we can. That's also a tzaddik. That's also an asas l'chol ha'ir ba'avurom. That if we are people that are nizer in things, and it's hard, this is a very difficult tkufa that we're living in, because we have so much technology, we have access to everything in our pockets, and it's hard to be strong, and sometimes we're not in the mood to be strong, we give up the fight so easily sometimes. But if a person is able to miskaber once in a while, win a few victories in those battles that we're dealing with, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us as a tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save a whole city for us. If we're learning, for sure, but even if we're not learning full-time or enough as we should, but we're able to be miskaber over our yetzaharas, and we're able to like fight a little bit of the battle and push back and give the yetzar a little bit of a run for his money and not be successful every time, there will be times that we fall. There will be times that we fail. But if we're trying our hardest and we're really making a concerted effort, and especially now when there's a melchama going on and we understand the power of being leichem now, and we're able to fight our own battles and not look at everything and not listen to everything and not think about everything and not go places that we know we're going to be we'll have problems with looking at certain things or speaking to certain people that we know are not good for us to speak with. That's our war effort also. Not just learning, not just davening, but being such a tzaddik that we're able to really try to fight the good fight in our personal Shmiris, our personal taivis. And this is a very, very important lesson that we're learning here today, to appreciate the tzaddikim amongst us. And I'm not just talking about the ones with the long white beards and the ones that are world famous tzaddikim. Those we for sure have to appreciate. But even when we look in the mirror, appreciate the tzaddik that we are. We had every excuse not to be in yeshiva. We could have gone with our friends to regular Gaiusha colleges and to be doing who knows what. But we chose to come to this yeshiva. We chose to come on a Friday to a shmooze and to stay in yeshiva when the reshiva is going to be here for a Shabbos, and to have and to try to do as much as we can to be in a good place, to be in the right place, and to learn as much as we can, and to do the right thing, and to go for a parnasa, which is a good thing. And at the same time, to be nishmar, and to be nizar from Yisurim. And the more that we do that, we are the tzaddikim that Avraham Avinu was dreaming of. We were the tzaddikim that Avraham Avinu was saying. He wasn't just talking about Sadaim. He was pleading not just for those Rishonim in Sadaim, but for the Rishonim in our dar in 2023. Who are also engaged? We're in such trouble. The whole world is going crazy. The whole world is unhinged, and this maisa, this milchama that we're going through, is opening up rishus anti-Semitism that we haven't seen in 70, 80 years. They say it's against Israel. It's not against Israel. It's against Jews. Make no mistake about it, in all the college campuses that are erupting and all of the metropolises in the world, whether it's in London or whether it's in Paris or whether it's in New York, Brooklyn, and there's thousands, tens of thousands of people that are that were meichel the Hamas for doing this, what they did on October 7th on Simchas Torah, that's fine. But chas v'shalom that we should defend ourselves and try to save our people, that's usur, that you can't do. Where is that coming from? It's coming from just a rishus that people were being nice all these years. It wasn't socially, politically correct to be anti-Semitic, but now it's okay. Now we're all fair game. And so the world is going crazy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachem on the world because Klal Yisrael is really they don't understand, the world doesn't understand what a yid is and how the whole world exists and prospers and flourishes because of Yidden. And we have to realize it. We have to understand the power that we have. We have to look in a mirror and feel good about ourselves and look at ourselves as being tzaddikim and appreciate all the taiv, all the kedusha, all the tzidkus that we're bringing to the world, that our yeshivas bring to the world, that Klal Yisrael contains, whether it's the chayalim or it's the avreichim, and everyone in between, the Amech Kulam Tzadikim, we're all really hidden Tzadikim. We have to be Melamed Tzchus and everybody. And Amirtz Hashem, through all that we're doing, we're not just going to win this Melchama, we're going to, Amirtz Hashem, be able to have the ultimate Yeshua, which really, I think we all can agree unanimously, that if there's a time for Mashiach to come, it's now. We can't exist anymore. It's like unbearable. We need Mashiach. It's not just like when things are good, you say it and everyone says amen, and everyone, you know, is very happy with the drasha. But sometimes you feel like you need Mashiach now, like it's not Shayach anymore, like we're mamish at the end of of the line. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like call a ceasefire on the world, on what's going on in the world, and bring Mashiach, then we don't know what's going to be next. Rechmana Litzlan. So let's appreciate Torah, let's learn more, let's daven more, let's have more shmira in our personal avaida, in our shmira seinayim, in our, everything that we're doing. We have to all step up our game, and mitzvah Hashem in natzchus v'nasasil chal ha'makim ba'avuram, we're going to be able to protect our cities, we're going to be able to protect Eretz Yisrael, and mitzvah Hashem, we're going to be able to bring Yeshua to the entire world. Have a good Shabbos.